We live in a society today that has become so competitive that it's become very important in our society to be number one or to be the best. We live in a society that is more or less based on a ladder system where if your goal is to get higher up on the ladder, to work hard, to buy more things, to be more wealthy, to be more recognized in the community or in society. And in turn, we kind of lose understanding of what true value is, and we sort of lose our way in our motives and what we really should be working for. We see a lot of times at the football games have those great big foam fingers. Maybe the hockey games have them. We're number one. And we get so concerned about being the best, better than others. And in some ways, we, in our minds, come up with this big long list of the reasons why we're better than the next person. We've done this. We've been this. We've done certain things. And we haven't done these. They've done these, but we haven't done these over here. I think you kind of get the idea of what I'm talking about. Well, it was the same way in Jesus' day, in society where Jesus was preaching, teaching about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He had taught about the value of involving little children, letting the little children come to him. And he was teaching about wealth in general at this point. We come to our text today, and if we remember that the young man came up to Jesus and said, "What good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You need to obey the laws." And he said, "Well, I've done all these things." And Jesus said, "Well, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then come and follow me." And the young man heard this, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. He thought he was very great, that he was best because he had acquired a lot of wealth. Well, Jesus went on to teach his disciples about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's another sermon completely altogether. And the disciples asked, "Well, then who can be saved?" And Jesus said, "Well, with God this is possible. With man it's impossible. With God it's possible." So Peter comes to Jesus with an attitude, a little bit of pride in this. Well, he says to Jesus, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" In other words, Peter's motive comes out for following Jesus. "We've done all this, Jesus. What are we going to get for that?" And Jesus starts talking about the renewal of all things when the Son of Man comes, and all who have followed him would sit on thrones. And he says, prior to our text today, "Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." And now he comes to the point that we're talking about today. In answer to Peter's question, Jesus is talking about kingdom values and kingdom rewards. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. And he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard." So, we have a landowner who has a vineyard. He goes out, he hires men. He makes an agreement with them, sends them into his vineyard. About the third hour, which would have been 9 o'clock, he went out, he saw others standing in the marketplace. He said to them, "You go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went, they agreed. They trusted him. They went out. He went out again at the sixth hour and the ninth hour, which was 12 and 3 o'clock, and he did the same thing. He went out about 5 o'clock, and he still found others standing around. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." So evening came, and it came time to pay them. All right, he agreed to pay them. There was a reward for their work. There was a contract, an agreement between the two. No written contract, but there was verbal agreements. To the first, he actually had this contract. He agreed to pay them a denarius. The others, he just said, "Go work," and they did. They trusted that they would be paid. So he said to the foreman, "Call all the workers in and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going on to the first." So the workers who were hired last came in and he paid them a denarius. Remember, he said, whatever's right, I'll pay you whatever's right. So he paid them a denarius. So those who were hired first came, and they expected, based on what he had seen the others received, that they were going to get paid more, because theoretically they had done more work, right? They had worked longer, harder, they would have been higher up on the ladder. So they expected to receive more, but they also received a denarius. And when they received it, what did they do? They grumbled. They grumbled that they were paid such a little wage. And the men who were hired last, they said, you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work of the heat of the day. But he said to them, friend, I'm not being unfair. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do that? He says to them. So the last will be first and the first will be last, Jesus is teaching. Now, what's he trying to imply by all this? Jesus is giving, in reply to Peter's question, we've given up everything to follow you. What then will be for us? Jesus basically says to Peter, the same thing that's going to be for everybody else that follows me. You're all going to receive the same thing. Now, some of us might say that's not fair. And in our day and age, we've, even in our Christian circles, we've fallen into this trap of thinking the more I do for God, the more blessings I'm going to have, the more He's going to bless me, and the more treasures I'm going to receive. Now, we do know the Bible teaches that we are going to receive treasures in heaven. But we have to be careful, because our motive for obeying the master or the landowner cannot be about getting rewards. If we're following Jesus for that purpose, we are following Jesus for the wrong reason. And so many times we think that because we're doing something more for the Lord, that we're better than the next Christian across the aisle or sitting beside us in the pew. When in turn Jesus said, no. No. The master or the landowner has made a contract and promised a reward. Promised a blessing. Has promised grace. We trust that God will reward us according to what we have done. We don't work our days out here on this earth with the motive of the more I do for God, the more He's going to bless me, because that isn't how it works. What He's saying here in this is that the landowner is like God. The kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out to hire men to work. And in God's system, in God's economy, no one's going to tell God what to do. We don't control God by doing things for His kingdom. Although He's pleased when we do, we don't control Him. We're not like the kids around Christmas time, that all of a sudden they start to behave, they start to be a little bit better, because we tell them that if you're a good little girl or a good little boy, you'll get a lot for Christmas. That isn't how it works with God. God has promised us rewards. We get involved just simply trusting that He is going to reward us. And folks, if just standing there in His glorious presence and hearing His voice saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my glory, if that's not enough for you, you're following Jesus for the wrong reason. That's only the beginning of the treasures that we'll experience when we enter into His presence. You see, He answers them when they grumbled. I'm not being unfair. I'm not being unfair. You agreed to work for the reward. Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. What's it really saying about God here? The landowner, the master. That God does what He wants. And when He does what He wants, we trust that He will be generous beyond our imagination. That's what we call sovereign grace, that God does what He wants, how He wants, when He wants, to whoever He wants, in whatever way He wants. That's God. But so often we try to manipulate Him into doing what we want Him to do. We try and take control. And we try and say, I'm better than the next person because I've done so much more for God. And Jesus said, no, it's not that way. In the kingdom of heaven, things are different than they are here on earth. And many who think they're at the top of rung of the ladder and that they're the first and the best and the foremost because of whatever they've done on this earth are really going to be last. And some of those who don't seem like so much here on earth, they're going to be first in line. It's a complete reversal, a complete reversal of a value system that we know here on earth. And we learn three things, that our standards here are not God's standards in heaven. Secondly, we learn that God makes the rules. And the problem today is that society is trying to change those rules to fit the way we act and talk and what we do, to make it okay that we're breaking God's rules. We try and contort the rules so that it's okay. You know who did that? Satan. That is exactly the way Satan acts. He tries to contort the Word of God and the ways and the rules of God. He says, God didn't say that you would die. You see? Does that strike up anything in your memory? When he came to Eve in the garden, surely you'll not die. He tried to contort the rules. And we know what happened when Eve fell for that lie. Sadly, so many today are taking this and they're trying to twist it around to make them look better, to make us look better, to make us on a higher rung on the ladder, to make what is not okay, okay, to make what is unacceptable, acceptable. And the Bible even speaks to that, that in the end times, what is wrong will seem right, and what is right will seem wrong. But thirdly, we learn that God is generous. You know, He said to the workers, I'll pay you whatever is right. We know God's going to reward us. We know that God is generous. We know that He's going to bless us. But we have to remember, it's not because of anything that we do. It's because God does what He wants. He makes the rules. And some who think, I am really something, will really be last in line. Jesus is saying here that in the kingdom of heaven, everybody's equal. Everybody's on the same field. Everybody's on the same plane. And Peter says this many times, I myself have said, Lord, I've given up this, I've given up that, I've done this, I've done that, I've gone here, I've gone there. Bless me, Lord, because I've been obedient. Jesus reminds us, He reminds me, that that's not how it works. God will bless us for being obedient, for doing what He wants us to do. We just have to keep focused heavenward, fighting the good fight, as Paul said, to the very end, knowing that God is generous, that God makes the rules, and that God's standards are above and beyond the standards of this world. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we know for certain that our world is truly in a bind and in a mess right now. As we look around, we see fighting. We see those who desire to be better than others, those who kill, those who steal, those who lie and cheat, and those who put on a good face that they might be better than the next person. We know that you truly see them as they are. And we know that your standards are not the standards of this world. And I pray today that you help us as followers of Christ to take a second look at your laws and your rules that you make, that we might be obedient to them, not because we want to get rewards, but because we want to be obedient to you, the Master, knowing that the rewards will always be more than we can ever imagine, and that we are thankful for what you've already given us. I pray, God, for strength to be like Jesus this week. We pray in his name. Amen.